Hello and welcome to the Equitopia podcast from the Horse's Mouth. This is Caroline Hegarty, founder of Equitopia. Today we're going to hear from Natasha van Eyck, who has been at the forefront of BitFit Consulting in the Netherlands and is the founder of the ICPBC International College for Professional BitFit Consultants. Natasha has fitted thousands of horses for bits, and her success may be attributed to her unique approach, combining bit fitting a horse with a whole body approach. Last week we spoke and I started off by asking her to tell me how she first got hooked on horses.
How did I get hooked on horses? Well, I don't know. Are we born with it? I recently saw this young girl sitting behind her mom on a bike. And she saw me in a riding gear and she just turned around on the bike and followed me with her eyes till she couldn't see me anymore. And all this time she had this sparkle in her eyes, and I knew why, because she knew I was going to see a horse. So she already created that picture in her mind. And I think I was and still am one of those girls. So for me, the Hooked on Horses has always been there.
I next asked her to explain how she decided she wanted to be involved with horses professionally.
I always knew, the same as being hooked on horses, that I wanted to be involved with horses professionally. But to be honest, I didn't know how, and I didn't expect it to be the way I am now. But I'm really glad it went this way. I do believe when you focus on something, the right people and the right horses will enter your life. And that's what happened with me, because I started studying law, which at that time seemed like a good idea. And during my studies, I met a German veterinarian who learned me manipulations of the spine. I learned her massaging according to trigger point therapy, which I already knew, also from a course. So I did some courses in dry needling, in cranial sacral therapy, in osteopathy. And so I started treating my own horses, of course, first hobby-wise and then more professionally as a side job while I was studying and just developing my knowledge more and more. And after my education, I started to work also by coincidence in the human medical industry. And that gave me connections with ENT specialists that are, of course, are also quite familiar with jaw problems, which is now, again, helpful in the job I'm doing now. And that's BitFit Consulting and teaching on the Education International College for Professional BitFit Consultants, in short, ICPBC.
I asked Natasha to tell me about any challenges she faced when she began working with horses.
When I started with body work, doing that part-time, one of my challenges was how to stand out of the crowd, which of course completely disappeared when I started as a BitFit consultant, especially because I combined knowledge of bits and bidding action with my background in body work of horses. So when a problem would be a combination between the wrong bit and, say, a blockage between C2 and C3, so the vertebrae of the neck, then I would adjust the vertebrae and I would change the bits, which gave me result. So I don't remember how exactly I got that known. I guess the mouth-to-mouth went really fast. So I got this call from Claudia Fassart, who has been on the Olympic team for Belgium in London. And I was called in to do her horses, and I could make a difference in those horses. And of course, it's not all about contact issues, but especially dressage riders that want to score higher on competitions, they were quite willing to try this new profession. So my struggles after a while were how to get everyone fit in the schedule. Because I was working from early mornings till midnight, and then when I got home, I still had to check all the emails, and a lot of times I didn't even have time for that because I was too tired. So I guess my challenges were quite a luxury problem.
From my experience, this is very rare. It is so great to hear that Natasha's approach was so readily accepted in an industry that doesn't seem to much like change. Word of mouth referral is definitely a powerful way to speed up change. I asked Natasha to tell me a bit about how she views the current bitfitting landscape and how she contributes to it.
So my current job is still bitfit consulting, but also a lot of education. I'm trying to get the ICPBC out in the world. And I know the word bitfit consulting maybe is chosen wrong because it doesn't cover the whole load. Since now every driving bit bank or every bit brand itself is now educating people to sell their brands and are also calling themselves Bitfitter or Bitfit Consultant. But the ICPBC takes it a lot further. Since I've been combining the bodywork with the bidding, I've made so many interesting links that will help horse owners with contact issues, even if the bid itself is not the biggest problem. So the ICPBC trained people assess a horse on the contact and know where to send it to if the bit, bridle or their own expertise is not the problem. And why do I say own expertise? That's because the ICPBC only trains horse professionals. It is possible to learn someone changing bits within a year. But it's also about looking at biomechanics, understanding how the horse's body works. And therefore, you need a proper background. So I would say educating and bitfit consulting are my current chosen field.
I think it's great to have such an organization that takes a biomechanical approach to correct bitfitting. It's something that could easily be put to the bottom of the list of priorities of horse owners. But as Natasha explains, it's an essential piece to get right if we want to care properly for our horses and get the best results performance-wise. And we know that everything is connected. So I asked her if she sees interprofessional collaboration as something that's relevant in her profession.
Interprofessional collaboration is a must in my work. Like I just said, my own students are also horse professionals, so they're instructors, they're professional high-level riders, or they are dentists or veterinarians or physiotherapists. They all have worked quite a while in the horse industry. And why is that so important? Because a contact issue or every small sign a horse is giving through the mouth, so something you feel on the bit and you don't want that, that is your horse communicating with you. And it is my and my graduate's job to help you find a solution. So say, for instance, you have a contact issue and I look in the horse's mouth and I see a wolf tooth is actually causing your problem. Well, then I can find you a bit that will, say, not interfere that much as your own bit with the wolf tooth, but the problem will only be fixed when the wolf tooth is taken care of by a dentist. So I do recognize this, but I can't, of course, fix the teeth. Another example, if your horse is really strong on one side, there are bits that will give you a more equal feel in your hand. But if the horse can't bend towards that side because of blockages and muscle spasms on the side of his neck, then this needs to be addressed as well. Well, in this case, I could do that, but then still you need some good instruction where you can discuss with and where you can explain the weakness of this horse so the training will be better afterwards. So if I wouldn't work with other professionals, I think my job will be boring and I would just be someone that is changing bits and not someone that's specializing in contact issues.
This is really interesting. Natasha's comment made me think that it would be useful to ask ourselves, or the professionals who look after our horses, what business are you in? Do you work with people who change bits or specialize in contact issues? Who medicate joint pain or optimize your horse's health? Who trim each hoof more or less the same each time, or strive for optimal hoof care, taking into account what else is going on in your horse's body? Are we, as horse owners or the professionals we work with, on the same page in terms of what we want for the horse? I asked Natasha to tell me about some of her challenges today.
The challenges I'm facing now are so different than when I was starting out. I now need to make clear to the world what's the difference of my education compared with bid brands calling their salesmen bidfitters and bidfit consultants, and with commercial people that have done short courses or others that are trying to sell their stuff. The thing is, this can result in ill-prepared people making mistakes because they lack sufficient background, or they believe without questioning that what they learned in a short course was all they needed to know. I see now some of these promote themselves as elite experts in the field of bid fitting with an enviable confidence I can learn of, but allowing people to make mistakes in bid fitting eventually hurt the horse. And there's no point doing that. So yes, my education is intensive and it favors the most committed practitioners, but in turn this helps reassure horse owners that the registered BidFit consultants have invested heavily in their profession and not relying that much on sales for their income, but on a proper advice. Or at least that's what I'm hoping, of course. So that is my challenge now. How do I promote what I do in the right way and letting people know it is really about welfare?
Over the years as a horse owner, I've met some amazing bitfitters who have dedicated several years to learning their profession. But I think it's true that it's not easy to find the right person. As in the case with saddle fitters or professionals who are essentially salespeople for particular brands, the consultation is very often more of a sales pitch that might or might not be the best solution for your horse. Through many years of paying lots of money for poor advice, I firmly believe that finding the best, most qualified professional that wants the same outcome from your horse, even if they are not the cheapest, will save money in the long run. I asked Natasha if she has horses now and if she has any issues with them.
At the moment, I have three horses, one 21-year-old, almost 22, her son, that's a 6-year-old, almost 7 now, and a stallion that is 13 already. And the stallion is the one that, well, I don't say facing challenges, I wouldn't say that, but he is my biggest teacher. I was talking about when you focus on your goal, the right people and also the right horses will enter your life, and he is definitely the one I need. So much information on the education comes from this horse. It's a long story, but I will try to make it as short as possible. As a young horse, this horse was really excellent, won all the young horse competition and went to the European championship, and as a 6-year-old he couldn't perform on a bid anymore. He just wouldn't accept the bid. So, of course, they tried everything and they called in for a BidFit consultant. And when I saw him the first time and did all my testing on the head and on the muscles and on the vertebrae, I said to them, well, it's not bid related. It must be something medical. So they asked me, where should I look? And since he had been lame on the right front and since he has certain reactions in the mouth, I said to them, well, I would start with the right front and with the TMJ Hyatt area. Someone in that stable asked me a question about having my own horses, and I told her I had a mare and a foal. And at that point, I was thinking to myself, no, I'm not going to buy another horse. I will get one horse one day. That's a project that will learn me a lot. And I believe I actually said then I would fix it. Maybe that day is still going to happen. But I remember this story so well because I was looking at this stallion and I thought, a horse like this one. So 3 years went by and they examined this horse as thoroughly as you can be, but the problem was never fixed. So I got this phone call and they asked me, do you know anyone for this horse? And then I said, well, I would really like to have it. So now that's my horse, and having a horse that has been examined by vets for so long made it even more interesting. So I was wondering what kind of investigation they wouldn't have done yet, and I thought it was a CT scan of the head. So I made a CT scan of his head, and the veterinarian said there was nothing to find, which I just couldn't believe. So I had this human jaw specialist look at it, and that one said, well, there is a part of the temporal bone broken off, which is stuck between the TMJ. And another veterinarian also told me from palpation and an x-ray that there was indeed a piece of bone stuck within his jaw, which made sense with the huge headaches this horse was having. And in case you've never seen a horse with headaches, I can send you a picture because you will recognize it right away. So I got him operated and I filmed the operation as well. And at least he's fixed from the headaches. But unfortunately, the contact issue is still not completely gone. It changed, but it's still not gone. But how interesting is it, as someone in my profession, that you find a horse with a diagnosed TMJ problem on the left? It's a great opportunity to work with this horse every day, because we have so many theories on humans about temporal mandibular joint disorders, but we don't have it on an actual case. And that actual case is standing now in my stable. So yes, I check the most crazy things on him, and he's still improving. I don't think I will ever get him completely in a competition, but who knows?
That's a great story. I love hearing horse stories. They add so much colour to life. I asked Natasha to comment on where she sees improvements in the horse world and what things she would change.
I think the last couple of years, people are more into horses' welfare, or at least the group that is into horse welfare is growing. And things like checking your saddle and checking your bit is getting more and more familiar. So I see that as a big improvement. And there are, of course, still a lot of things that need to change as well, especially in the competition world. But I think it's better to focus on the things that are going well. So I'd rather not give too many examples of what I think is going wrong.
That's fair enough. I asked her where she sees equestrianism going in the coming years.
You see two things happening in the equestrian world. You see people buying horses that know all the exercises and they go into a competition and show their skills, but they don't really connect with the horse. They still see their horse as something like a bike or something to promote themselves with. On the other side, you see a large group of people that's getting more and more involved with the welfare of horses. So I don't know where it's going. Hopefully somewhere in the middle they meet up and everyone will be happy. Let's hope so.
As we continue to compile a list of books for equestrians, I asked Natasha to recommend some she thinks equestrians would enjoy.
The three books I recommend, well, they're probably a bit boring for some people, but I really like Pauli Grunberg's ABC of the Horse, which is an anatomy book. Very clear drawings and yes, just very nice to use. I use it many times. I guess most of my books are anatomy books, but I also like The Horse Whisperer. I think every horse owner already read this one, but I really liked the connection of the girl with the horse. So yes, that's definitely on my list. And the third one is a book. I think it's not to be bought in shops. I think it's a giveaway book. And it's called Paardensignalen, which means horse signs. And it's about all the signs a horse can give when he has pain in his stomach, when he's not feeling well, when his saddle doesn't fit, and all kinds of basic every horse owner should know. It's written by Menke Steenbergen and Jan Hulsen.
And finally, I asked her to summarize the qualities she would be looking for in members of an equine team.
The qualities I look for in any professional I'm working with is, of course, skills, but also always the will to change their opinion when they find something that's better than their own opinion, of course, and the will to keep on learning. I think those qualities are really important.
From the Horse's Mouth. I hope you enjoyed this episode. As we're approaching the holiday season, I would like to make a special request to please tell your friends and colleagues about Equitopia. The more people who know about what we do, the sooner we can move towards a world of horses and humans in harmony. In the coming days and weeks, we will launch our gift cards, so why not let people know if you're interested in Equitopia online courses, or you could get a course or a membership voucher for a friend. These may be good gifts for horse people or for the professionals in your life. You can also check out our Refer a Friend program and get a reward each time a friend joins our community. Thank you so much for your support, and tune in again next month for more From the Horse's Mouth.